Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Political collegiality has changed since Kit Bond was governor and even senator. We'll hear from him about this a little bit later. But first, preschoolers with behavioral problems make it hard on parents, teachers, and ultimately themselves. We're looking at that, about how expulsion of these kids from school may be the wrong way to go. With me in studio is Stephen Zwolak. He's executive director of the University City Children's Center, an early learning center. Students range in age from 6 weeks to 6 years and come from diverse backgrounds. Steve, nice to see you again.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
How big a problem is the issue of behavior problems in kids pre-K?
Well, it's growing, and we certainly know that there's a lot of rationales for why it's growing, and I'd like to get into those. But, you know, we're dealing with more expulsions in preschool than any other grade level, which is a serious issue.
And it's a very surprising fact that you just presented there. Preschool kids being expelled more than high school kids?
Yep. And which is an indicator that our workforce may not be prepared for children that are coming to them. And part of the MO is we need to have schools ready for children and not children ready for schools, mm-hmm. particularly in preschool. We need to be prepared to receive children that are coming from multiple backgrounds, and we have to tool up teachers in order to understand what that really means for them. But so consequently, we are having teachers that may not be tooled up enough to handle some of the mischiefs that kids are getting into, and they don't know what to do. So the first reaction is to expel them, and so. You know, they do timeouts and they do that whole litany of things, and they're all not working. So we have to train teachers up and give them a new framework to understand how to navigate that.
Well, how much latitude is given to a child if he has a behavioral issue? What would typically get a kid expelled?
Usually hitting teachers, hitting other children with any chronic nature, language. If they use, foul language, it's often an expellable offense. We're finding that when children are coming, I'm going to go into something called angry love. We have our systems are so fragmented right now, and children are lacking the ability to develop relationships. So when they're coming into schools, they're so desperately looking for somebody to love them. I mean, it's plain and simple. I mean, and they're looking for somebody to love them. And what they often know is this angry love. So they come in kicking and hitting and punching and spitting and calling people whatever they want to call them. And they're just ways to keep adults engaged. And it's the only way that they know. And we have to – so we have children coming into our schools with angry love. And we have to begin to teach teachers how to treat angry love with a concept that we call ruthless compassion. Huh. And it doesn't sound like those words fit together, either angry love or ruthless compassion. But they're critical for teachers to understand.
But those are some adjectives we're putting into play with kids who are from 6 weeks to 6 years old.
But that is the reality that we are faced with.
To make sure that I understand what you're saying, Steve, though, is that these kids come in and they are so hungry for love and attention mm-hmm. that they act out.
They act out, and there's a sense of desperation to a child. When you look in their eyes, there's a desperation of hanging on to the teacher. And the only way they know how to hang on to a teacher is to engage them with physical contact. Because when you play it out, if you have a four-year-old who is literally hitting and kicking a teacher, the teacher's usually holding them closer and they get their needs met, but they only know how to get it met through inappropriate fashions.
What about with the other kids?
What do you mean?
Acting out with the other kids, hitting, using bad language.
Absolutely. And we'll often see that. But what you'll see, no matter where the behavior is manifesting itself, it still gets the teachers to grab on to the child. And We've just recently had 4 children in a classroom where we were dealing with extreme behavior. And the teacher literally went home bruised, a veteran teacher of 16 years. And she worked through this with this kid, and she thought about quitting, but she worked through it. And when the child had his last day, it was real obvious we got to him at this level. Because he was longing for her. He asked his teacher to sing a very special goodbye song that the classroom would sing.
Steve, what is going on with these kids? We're talking kids coming from homes where families can afford to spend tuition at your place, which is significant, $13,000, $18,000 a year.
Right.
Where are these kids coming from? Who are they?
Again, they are from everywhere and anywhere.
To afford that price. I mean, they must be coming from homes of some affluence.
Yeah. Well, we also – we have children with families with incomes less than $5,000 a year, and we have early Head Start and Head Start children. So our ranges go from $5,000 a year to $250,000, and it's a big conglomeration. So the issue does cross all economic barriers. It's just that angry love manifests itself differently in some more affluent families where there are more resources. We have families that just don't have the resources, and early intervention was not something that they had available to them.
What happens to these kids when they are expelled? I mean, they have to go home, but sometimes the parents, they're in the school because the parents are working.
Yeah. And that, again, that becomes the biggest dilemma. Who's taking care of them? And so at University City Children's Center, for example, in the 15 years that I've been there, we've only asked 2 children to leave because we had absolutely no support from family. Mm. And there is a point when you have to really look at those hard realities. But for the most part, we will do anything possible as long as we have this an ounce of support from the family. And schools need to begin to look at that. And because when we expel kids or send them home, it's the question, where are they going? Yeah. Are they going to be any better when they come back? Part of the problem that we have when you expel a child or ask somebody to leave, that they're going to go home and get punished. Mm. And not discipline, it's punishment. Mm. And so these kids are coming in desperately looking for some needs to get their needs met. We look at children with fractured attachments, kids who do not know how to develop relationships. We're seeing more and more children getting that. And now the interesting thing about University City Children's Center is that children who've been at the school for 3 years really leave there with a high level of attachment, and we measure that, and they're on the cognitive, on a real high level cognitive scale. But if we think we're going to get a child who comes in for 3 or 4 months and then leaves, we can't do much. And if we dance back to the concept that 90% of the brain is developed by 5, that we're influencing a generation every 5 years. So this is a compelling piece of data that we now have. And why we're not putting more resources into it is beyond me.
Well, when you talk about putting more resources into it, resources from where? Are you talking about government involvement? You're talking about corporate involvement? Or?
Well, it's really a collection. I mean, if we think that 90 to 95% of the brain is developed by 5, we're influencing a generation every 5 years, that when you look at the amount of dollars invested in children under 3 is like 2% of our gross revenues. When we have the greatest impact at 90 to 95%, so we're investing from our government perspective least amount in pre-3, and then the investment increases as the children get to 18, 19 years of age.
I thought the Obama administration was getting into this and was concerned about the number of suspensions cross country and certain block grants were being made available. Is that something you see?
There are efforts, but again, there's a logistics and a hierarchy and a process to get those funds, and it's still challenging to see it, how it's really filtering into the classrooms. And it's a huge problem for us.
Is there a percentage of kids who are actually kicked out because of behavioral problems? Yeah.
Well, in the state of Missouri is in, yeah. is one of the has some of the highest rate of expulsions in the country. One out of every 10 preschool age child is being expelled.
10%.
In the state of Missouri.
That's really hard to fathom.
And African American boys are three times higher than the typical preschool age child.
And yet you say that this problem transcends all socioeconomic levels, right? I have to take a break. We're talking with Stephen Zvolak of the University City Children's Center, and we're talking about a very interesting item, that is the number of kids under the age of 6 who are expelled from school. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again, and welcome back to Steve Zvolak. Steve, you say that teachers need to have better training. What's being done now in this regard?
Well, there's a lot of training that's going on in our community, and I think that one of the unfortunate things is that it becomes an event, not really developing. So they go into a session and it's done, and we have to provide more sustainable types of professional development for teachers. We have to help them understand what is key. Children are walking into their classrooms with something called adverse childhood experiences, things that have been passed down for generations, and it manifests itself in behaviors. And we also now know through these adverse childhood experiences, they have long-term health outcome impacts, negative health outcome impacts. So teachers need to understand what these adverse experiences are. They need to understand the importance of language development. There's a phenomenal study called the Million Word Gap, and it's professional families, for example, have 3 million words by 3. A working class family has 2 million, and an underserved family has 1 million. And if self-control and language development are key indicators for academic success, we're not building it in.
It's one thing to train the teachers, and obviously that's necessary. But what on the other end, the home end? I mean, what can be done? What is being done to attack the problem there? Yeah.
So if we, and these are the pieces that Lum Institute is working on, if we help teachers grow to another level of understanding about these concepts, that they can in essence do the therapeutic triage in the classroom and work with parents, because parents trust teachers. They will come in and trust their teachers, and early childhood educators have to reclaim the field of early childhood and come in with a deeper understanding. Not sending home a paper bag puppet, it has no relevance to the inside of a child. So if teachers begin to understand how children's emotional states are, if we can help understand the emotional states, then these states will not turn into negative traits for children that have long-term impact, going back to 90% of the brain developed by 5.
Should these kids be expelled?
I don't believe so. I believe if we're doing our diligence and we're developing relationships with families, that we find resources that may be different than for example, UCCC, we can refer to our little haven. We can refer to the Family Resource Center. There are places that we need to refer that where they can get a more a robust set of services for a child, and we have done quite a bit of that. And so I think as educators, we need to begin to think about that's the very last straw. If we get no support, then when we send those children out of our building, they're done. I mean, the likelihood of deep intervention if we get zero family support, it's sad.
Well, you use that term. We have a tweet here saying, agreed, nowadays parents work all day to pay bills, or a single parent has to work two jobs, leaving no family time. It's sad.
It's very discouraging.
What about when there is an issue and when both parents work and a child has reached the point where you have to send them home and there is no one home? I mean, what happens there? How is that handled?
Well, you just put yourself in the parent's role that you have to leave work, or they're frantically looking for somebody to take care of the child. And the internal anger, if the kid is being removed from the school because of anger and outburst, they've learned that somewhere. And that just doesn't automatically appear. So what are we sending the children into? The stress and the toxicity of the family just gets elevated, because then the parent is at risk of their job. They take another day off, so it really is counterbalance to in my opinion, anything that would be good.
Is there any effort to evaluate these kids before they are accepted into your place or other places?
Well, I think there's some wonderful movements happening, and there's a framework called Early Childhood Consultation Model, where you're really working with teachers in how to promote good mental health, healthy mental health, and there's a prevention piece. We have to know the signs. There's nuances of the signs when kids have fractured attachments, and if we catch these pieces early, we can mitigate some long-term problems. So teachers are in the trenches, and they have the capacity, or they need to have the capacity, to start identifying. So the level and quality of professional development for educators, and I think this is across the board around the issues of emotional development of children. There's a movement that talks about social-emotional development, but there's an emotional development piece that stands alone, and we have to be able to get to where those children are from an emotional perspective.
Typically, how long are the children expelled for? You mentioned earlier that when they come back, so I assume they do come back, and some of them come back. Under what conditions and terms do they come back?
Yeah, in the field of early childhood, I have nothing hard to relate to other than just hearsay, but it's usually a day.
Oh, but, really? Oh, a day doesn't seem like
But it's in a day in the life of a 5-year-old is certainly a different day than the life of a 60-year-old.
I was thinking we were talking long term, you know, weeks at least.
No. But the message to the child is they get validation of what their perception of themselves are when they're booted out, when they're expelled, and there's all this moralizing that goes on. And the kids end up personalizing it. So I there's some real challenges, and we're perpetuating the negative downward spiral that a child's feeling. So we have to help children develop these executive functioning skills, which is about working memory and you know, long-term self-control. And if these kids are being pushed aside, time out, ostracized, their memory ends up going into that negativity mode, and there's a sense of worthlessness.
And the wear and tear on the teachers, I'm sure, is considerable.
And you know, we really need to think about class sizes and what kinds of supports children need. But if we reduce class sizes, we elevate the expense, and it's already expensive.
We only have a couple of minutes left, Steve, and obviously this is a bigger problem than I ever thought it was. I hadn't really heard much about it, but I know that this station and Channel 9 are getting together, and you're going to be part of this. What are they doing to try to make this
a better deal? A huge shout out to the 9 Network. They have their American Graduate Series initiative has really embraced the impact of early childhood on the impact of the on kids the rate of kids graduating from high school. They see it. Not many organizations see that that the investment in early childhood will have a long-term investment in high school graduation rates. So kudos to Nine. And what they have been doing over the past year is really pulling apart some of the hot topics that are keeping these keeping our children from graduating. So
and worse, going to jail or prison.
Well, you know, we have economic data now from James Heckman at the University of Chicago, a Nobel laureate, who says every dollar invested in quality early childhood, in the soft side of quality early childhood, has a 10% return on investment. So we have the economic data that says invest.
We are running out of time. I would like to just advise our audience that they're interested in this project that involving Channel 9 and St. Louis Public Radio and Focus St. Louis. They can go to our website. We'll have information
Great.
About how they could be a part of that. A little bit less than a minute left. What do you want to leave our audience with, Steve? What can individual audience members do, do you think?
First of all, I think we need to look at the importance of early childhood as a profession, as a key time in the lives of children. 90% of their brain is developed by five. Mm-hmm. And it is our time. It is St. Louis's time to put St. Louis back on the map by investing in early childhood differently.
How – and again, 30 seconds. How has this evolved in recent years? Has it gotten worse or is it stabilized?
I think early childhood's in the worst shape it's ever been. I have over four decades in the field. I think it's in the worst shape it's ever been, but I think it's their best opportunity right now. This is it. We can't miss this one.
Okay. Well, we'll ask folks to turn to our website for more information on that. Steve Zwolek of the University City Children's Center, thanks so much for being with us and advising us about this problem. Who knew, as they say? This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.